This is the last class of the Special Seven. And, as you may find out, the subject is something that I never thought would be spoken before a group of this kind. Today we have a message addressed specifically to those among you, perhaps five of you, perhaps ten, certainly no more. This is the story of your last incarnation. Our hope, of course, is that even those among us who are not ready for the last incarnation may benefit by hearing a message addressed to the higher level of consciousness by spirit. Because ultimately, all of us will be taking this step. Mankind has always been a wanderer. He wanders through time and through space somewhat aimlessly. And the reason is that he is totally unaware of who he is. He does not know what his purpose is on the earth. He does not understand the nature of God, nor is he aware of the presence of God. And so he suffers needlessly and continues reaching out, always reaching to grasp something that ultimately appears as nothing more than a mirage. This has been the story of most of us through the centuries. And through all this confusion, this despair, very rarely does man seem to be able to determine what went wrong. What did he do that didn't work, and why? What can he do about it? What way of life should he follow? Where should he go? How can he find his fulfillment in this seeming chaos? And however earnest he may seek to find the truth, he's always reaching out with new hopes, trying to attain the fulfillment of new promises, always finding that at the end of the trail, he has not really fulfilled his dreams. And the sad fact that we must all learn to face is that when we continue to do this, we are following the path of those who do not know that this world, this very world we walk in every day, is not the divine creation. Now, most of us here are very fortunate. We have followed the spiritual path, and we have been exposed to the teachings not only of Jesus Christ, but of Joel Goldsmith. And if we accept these teachings, we also accept that our one goal on earth is to step out of the parenthesis, to make a transition out of the mirage called the world into the reality of that ever-present spiritual universe that surrounds us. So you might say that we have found answers. Answers that work. Answers that the entire world has actually been seeking all these centuries. And at this moment, there are those among us who can actually say, yes, I believe this could be my last incarnation. A word of caution, of course. Even when we approach this great moment, we must realize that there are none among us who can make this major step unless we have been ordained by the Spirit, unless we have really caught the vision, the great vision of the Masters. unless we truly know deep down inside the nothingness of this world, the nothingness of the human ego, and unless we understand the methods by which universal mind fools us, deceives us, tempts us into thinking that we are mortal beings. It is for those who have caught the full picture, who are willing to devote their energy, their waking hours, their concentrated effort to attain the priceless privilege of walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth that this class is dedicated to. That is why we call it preparation for your last incarnation. We have learned that this is the fourth world, and that our soul is an experience that we attain only in the fifth world, and that we must relinquish all that we hold in this world to enter the realm of the soul, which is the fifth world, on our way to the seventh world, which is God realization. We have learned, too, that we do not have to wait to die to find a paradise in heaven. For we know that God is here now. And so, in order to prepare properly for this transition, it becomes necessary to recognize certain facts. And one is that the entire world we live in is formed and controlled by the universal mind. That this universal mind is incessantly projecting a continuous flow of material images, false images, images that even include our human bodies, and that unless we step out of this universal flow of false images, we must move directly to our graves and into reincarnation. So this is what we bear in mind as we daily practice a series of spiritual exercises or meditations, the purpose of which is to free us from the flow of world illusion, to break past karma, to deepen our consciousness of reality, to open our soul, and ultimately to release us from the lies of the world mind. This is what we are learning to do. And one of the most important meditations we can practice every day in order to do this is to step right out of this world. We must set aside a period, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, at least once a day, in which we literally walk out of the world. Now let's see what that means. Together, let's try it. Let's step out of this world. Now just let go, relax. Just forget who you are. Forget all about you. Forget that personal self. And forget everyone that you know. Rest in the impersonal universe. Forget the day, forget the hour, forget the place, drop all your responsibilities and cares. Let go of every desire. Just walk through the world knowing it isn't there. If you is not there, if the personal me is gone, you are actually walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth. The world is passing by, but you are in identity. You are standing in self, standing fast in the invisible reality of my kingdom. The imagined movements of the world do not influence you. You are not tempted, not brought back into a material sense of self. And soon we are completely relaxed, free. We feel a gentle presence. No words can describe it. There is an invisible harmony. We feel the very essence of life. Your spirit, the universe, are one. As we walk now in the invisible creation, we are in the true kingdom of God, where there is only one law, perfection. We are not dying creatures. We are not flesh and blood. We are not mortal. We are not encumbered by physical bodies. We are pure spirit, living under pure divine law. This is the daily liberation from the false life stream. As you surrender to it, to this pure life stream, as your human self becomes a nothingness, view the world loses all its power, its false forms, its false substance, and you find the dream of mortality is exposed as a nothingness. Past karma fades away. I have found this exercise a necessity at least once a day. Sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a day. And as you practice it regularly, it isn't long before you realize that something very wonderful is happening to you. It may be the realization that you truly are a spiritual being. You are a purified vessel. And as this deepening breaks the false power of universal mind around you, you are taken right out of bondage to the evils of the world, out of the illusions of matter, out of karma, out of this human lifespan, out of the successive reincarnations back into the flesh, out of birth and out of death, out of the world that is but a passing shadow. Actually, you witness a preview of your own transition, the beginning of the new consciousness which knows the Father aright. Now, that's only one meditation. And the more you practice it, the more you realize that you have the capacity to step out of this world and to let the world pass by. It's a glorious feeling, a glorious release, and it opens the soul. Let the world pass by. As this new consciousness develops within you, and you set several periods aside every day, you find you actually feel the nothingness of the world. You feel your identity. And as this becomes firmly established, the false powers that had in some way threatened you day by day lose their capacity to make you respond. You truly know, I am walking in the invisible kingdom of heaven on earth now. This is that heaven. That's a liberating exercise, and I hope you begin to do it more frequently. Our next meditation is again a difficult one, even more difficult, but very necessary. Once you've established identity as spirit, once you have walked in the invisible kingdom of spirit, right here where the world appears, then you must begin to expand your awareness of your identity. And the purpose of this next meditation is for you to know that you are the invisible self of everyone and everything that you see. Wherever you go, there the invisible self is you. And something extra in this meditation. This meditation is not complete until you, the viewer, and the object you view become one. Now dwell in silence a moment. You, the viewer, and the object you view must become one. That must become the way you walk through the world, looking at everything, knowing it is not there, it is I. We are one invisible self. The deeper purpose of this meditation is to take you out of duality, or what is called separation. This is an exercise in which you are no longer a person in a physical body, occupying a single spot at a special time, but rather, you are now the spirit everywhere. Within yourself, think of a tree. See the tree. Look at it within yourself. Now know the tree is not there. Only your spiritual self is there. See a river. Look at the river. And know the river is not there. Only your spiritual self is there. See a person. Look at that person. But don't be fooled. That person is not there. Only your spiritual self is there. You are the invisible spiritual self of every object, every person, everything, every condition that comes into your human experience. It doesn't matter what it is. Only your invisible self is there. And when you know that, then you, the viewer, and the object viewed become one. It doesn't matter where you go over this entire earth, in every tomorrow, no matter how many things you see, no matter how many persons you meet, the only self you will ever find is your invisible spiritual self. Now, the human mind cannot understand this. That is why you meditate with it. That is why you meditate with this idea sufficiently to come into an inner awareness that can say, yes, I see there is only one, that one self everywhere I am, and I must meditate upon it so frequently that when I go out into the world, this is the consciousness I carry with me. Then it no longer is an exercise, but a realized state of awareness. And once this truth is established within you, once you can abide in it, once you can depend on it to be the truth, you will find that there is really no limitation to the rewards that flow into your life experience. Because when these false images are overcome by spiritual consciousness, divine images will take their place. All right, suppose we open our eyes just for a minute, because we're going to go right back into another meditation. And I'd like you to see that this new subject for meditation is one that must become a regular part of your inner work. Remember, we're talking to those among you who are preparing for your last incarnation. That means we can leave no stone unturned. We can leave no lie in our consciousness. We must completely move out of every human concept. And this meditation will be about time. This isn't just a meditation for this afternoon. This is a meditation that you must learn to take into your daily consciousness. In fact, all of these are meant for that purpose. You'll spread them out perhaps over a week. You might even take one of these meditations and work with for a whole year. But ultimately, if the subject involved in every meditation opens you up as it will, the new you will be born. Now let's look at time. Not as we have ever looked at it before, but in an entirely new way. You know by now that future time is imaginary, that past time is imaginary, that all time is a myth. And yet mankind thinks that the future comes into the present, that tomorrow becomes today. Now, there's no truth in that at all. There simply is no future time. Now, many of you have wondered about your past lives. What did you do? Who were you? So forth. What you have not known is that the life you are living right now is one of your past lives. Your soul is moving through your complete past into the seventh heaven. And what you call tomorrow is actually part of your past. But it's that part of your past which you have not yet experienced. When you look in the mirror, you think you're looking at you, your present life, but you're not. You're looking at your past life. We are really reliving our past lives. The so-called future contains only your past. When tomorrow does come, you are going to experience another portion of your past, and so on, until you finally graduate from the false images that universal mind has projected into and through your material senses. So in the same manner, universal mind projects false powers. You remember we used that example of the recording machine several weeks back? If someone points a gun at you, for example, and says, "Give me your money or I'll kill you," naturally you're frightened. But suppose by chance you were able to get a recording of the person's voice, and 5 days later you played it back. It wouldn't frighten you then. You'd say, "Why, that's only a recording. It isn't reality. There's no substance there. There's no power there to kill me. How can a voice kill me?" That's how you're going to see your present life someday. You will learn that the entire world of time is already past. It only appears to be happening now, but it isn't. It's a delayed broadcast. A replay. It's a replay of yesterday's words and yesterday's images brought to our so-called human attention now. Remember how we played blind man's buff when we were children? Somebody spun us around, blindfolded us, and spun us some more. And then finally someone shouted, "Now find me." And so we moved toward the voice. We headed north, we thought. But actually, we were going south. We'd been spun around so often that we didn't know one direction from another. That's how man is concerning time. He's spun around, turned in the wrong direction. All of us, we've all placed our hopes in the future, haven't we? We say, "I hope someday to do this and someday to do that." But there is no future. God, Spirit, is eternal, already completed, already being all that Spirit is. Your complete self is already finished. It has no future. It is the infinite eternal now. So when tomorrow comes, that will not be the future. It will be the past, not the future. It will be the past that comes into our sense of the present. We've been labeling it wrong. All of our human life, we've been reliving our past, thinking that we were progressing into the future. And this is one of the major illusions of mortality. Know this, that everything in the world is past. The world itself is past. All suffering on the earth, though we think it happening now, is actually a happening in the past. All disease, all disasters, even death itself, is only happening in the past. It is simply impossible for you to die. You cannot die for one good reason. You already have died. Your death is in the past. And when tomorrow death finally comes to you or you or you, it won't matter. You will simply be reliving your past. The past illusion of death. All of us on earth today are walking through our past lives on the way to reality. But you never can die. All who die tomorrow will experience the delayed replay of the death they experienced in the past. What we have thought of as our present life is actually the karmic flow, the continuous flow of karmic activities, the false life stream, or what you may call the impure life stream. Not a speck of it is true. None of it is you. All of it is made up of impure images. Actually, you might call them dead images, not created by God. Dead images that create an illusory ego that moves through the ups and downs of an illusory mortal lifespan. None of it is you. The beautiful truth is that you are self-complete forever. You can never die, you can never lack, you can never be limited, you can never suffer. The secret of the reality of you lies in the unchanging void spoken of in Genesis. That unchanging void is the ocean of love. The ever-present infinite universe that permeates all time and space and is the source of everything. This void is the essence of your being right now. It contains the fullness of the Godhead. It is yourself, and it contains everything that you need. Think about that. Think of this void as the divine sea of consciousness, above the realm of human thought. And learn that you can and must cross the thin dividing line between thought and consciousness, that they are not one and the same, that when you cross above thought into consciousness, you are in the realm of reality, in the realm of wholeness, of fullness, and then the power of the Father, the love of the Father, the allness of the Father flows into your daily experience. The problems that we have experienced up to now are actually our separation from this realm of consciousness above thought. The manner in which we are separated from this realm is very subtle. Consider your eyes. They see a tree. And instantaneously, what does your mind say? Your mind says that is a tree. But do you see, actually, the seeing and the thinking are one and the same. And they are simultaneous. You think what you see what you think, or with any other sense, you do the same thing. Your nose, it smells a pineapple. Your mind says, that's a pineapple. You see what we're driving at? Thought and sensation are one and the same. You don't really smell, you think. You don't see, you think. You don't feel, you think. Your thoughts become the echo of your senses, imprisoning you in whatever you see or think or feel. This is your separation from divine consciousness. This is how we are all held in mental bondage in the false life stream of the mind. What was the secret of Jesus Christ, or at least one of them? He always stood consciously in the presence of God. And so, he was fully conscious, not partially. He was out of human thought. He wasn't bound by the senses. He wasn't imprisoned by the invisible thought stream of this world. So he could say, all that the Father hath is mine. We are all self-complete too. But as long as we remain in human thought, in sense beliefs, we can only experience the good and the bad illusions of this world. It is only as we are still, still in the sense mind, refusing to honor all human thought, all sense thought, that we are able to rise into that area of consciousness beyond illusion. We stand then in the pure life stream and discover the great secret that never were we mortal, never were we material, never were we born of woman, never were we male or female, never did we live in a physical body. We are now what we always have been and ever will be, pure spirit. And we are ready, ready to shed the last state of manifest illusion. That is where we rest in confidence. For we know that when we have attained self-control of all sense thought, that our soul automatically controls our visible life. We even can rise above the need for physical demonstrations, above the human habit of judging spiritual progress by material fruitage. We no longer need material evidence. We need no signs. In our spiritual, unseparated self, we are the law unto ourselves, no longer reliving the past, no longer hoping for a better future, but instead we are witnessing our own infinite self. We are watching truth externalize as harmony, peace, fulfillment. We are truly preparing for our last incarnation. Again and again, as you continue these meditations, expanding them into more frequent periods during the day, you will open yourself to the inner master, and you will be fed with divine guidance, divine bread, divine qualities, all flowing out from within you, from your own self-complete being. You will discover that your inner master governs you infallibly. In the absence of all human thought, you will live in the infallible universe, governed only by perfection. These truths are going to become clearer and clearer to you as time goes by. There will come a time when you find it wise to re-evaluate your goal. You will say that I must take a second look at my activities on this earth. Let's say that you're an artist. Now, no one is saying that you should change your profession. Don't misunderstand. On the contrary, what is being said is that you must take a second look at your art. Look at your skills. Ask yourself, are you using those skills for the ultimate purpose? Re-examine not only your skills, but re-examine your subject matter. Ask yourself if you are fulfilling the divine will. Ask yourself if there are subjects that could be more meaningful in your chosen art. Are you working with the right point of view? And no matter what endeavor you may be in, whether it's art or business or some other profession, reevaluate it. Take a long look at it. Find out if you are handling your endeavor the spiritual way. And then, if you are not, give your inner master a chance to reveal to you possibilities undreamed of, new viewpoints, new ideas, and let them all emanate from your inner divine consciousness. Quite a number of people have learned to do that. And if you do this with sincerity, you will discover too that when you let the fourth dimension enter the third, you are awakened to a completely new depth of self. You may even find your entire life work being brought into a new focus. So give it a try. Let Spirit fulfill your daily work. A good rule to remember is that you unfold toward whatever you accept. Another way to say it might be that if you accept truth, that is what you will manifest in your life. If you accept the lie of this world, that is what you will manifest. And so if your thought emanates not from this world but from the divine life stream or divine consciousness, you will not externalize the impurities of this world. And your preparation for the last incarnation will reach a new pinnacle. Now, these are but some of the exercises that we have found very necessary in our daily work. Some of them may be more important to you than others, and this will vary depending on where you are and who you are. Study this tape carefully. Make it a point to hear all that is spoken. Put it in practice, and I can assure you for you the last incarnation will not be a myth but a fact. We'll pause a moment now and then come back in about 5 or 6 minutes.